Prepare yourself for the ultimate time zone challenge. Daytona, USA.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
Go head to head on the most exciting adrenaline pumping race simulator on the circuit. Daytona, USA. It's fast. It's intense. It's exhilarating. It's out of control. It's...
Mr. Three?
Daytona at time zone. It's out there.
Daytona.
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 Head to head.
This week in your parents' basement. Daytona. Let's go away. From 1994, we're playing Daytona USA by Sega for the arcade and the Sega Saturn. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the man who feels the need for speed. It's Huell Hauser.
G-A-M-E-O-V-E-R.
And our other co-host, his favorite cars are the blue car, which he loves to count. It's Todd Brisket.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
Gentlemen.
Gentlemen. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes. And when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ybbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Also, if you want to support the show, you can find our Amazon click-through link on the YBB homepage, ybbpodcast.com. The homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. The last racing game we did was a little jaunt called Excitebike in May of 2017.
Wow.
So it's been a while since we had a Racing Man's game.
Really? Has it been that long?
Seems like a long time.
I think so, because we covered Kart before Excitebike. And I feel like we also did Road Rash in that time frame. So
we did. Friend of the show, Beryl, was on that one, yeah.
That was RC Pro, or we also did RC Pro, but that was pre-Excitebike, I think.
RC Pro was way back in the early days.
It was like episode 12.
Yeah, with friend of the show Pippins, I think, was RC Pro-Am, wasn't it?
So many friends.
Yeah. But not tonight. Tonight is just, it's just us revving up our engines for Daytona USA. Released in 1994, this was an exciting racing game from Sega. You were the driver of a stock car starting out in 40th place, and you had to make your way to the front of the pack. It featured fast action and crisp polygons, at least crisp for the time. It was one of the keystone ports from the arcade to the Saturn as well, although it lost some of its speed and graphics in the process. So, I played the hell out of this one as a youth. Huell, was this one of the games you had at the arcade?
That is a great question, because I was actually thinking about that earlier today, and I think we had Cruisin' USA, but we did not have Daytona USA.
What?
Ooh.
I mean, you know the kind of
big difference between those two.
You know the kind of arcade I worked in, so that should not be a surprise.
Yeah,
but playing this one this week, unfortunately, the cabinet I ordered did not come in on time, so I had to attempt to emulate this using a Xbox 360 controller.
The arcade or the Saturn?
Yeah, the arcade. And unfortunately there, you have both the wheel and two pedals to try to emulate, and it wasn't letting me pick the second stick on the USB controller I had, so I could not use the brakes. I could only accelerate and turn were the two controls. And
if you're using the brakes in Daytona USA, you're racing wrong, brother.
That's all you need, right? So I was spinning out a lot, but I still completed two races. I gotta admit, I'm not really a big racing man's game.
Not a racing man
fan. Yeah, it just gets boring real quick for me. If there aren't red shells and green shells involved, I lose interest very quickly.
That I'm with you on that one. Arcade racers as a genre, I'm not a fan of. They have to throw something else into the mix.
Especially like
a red
console
shell, something else.
Console racers, I'm completely do not like. But if you're there sitting in the seat, you got the wheel in front of you, you're in the arcade, that could be a fun time.
Yeah. And so the arcade racer.
Once in a while.
The arcade racer is not great as a genre, I would say. Like, if you're sitting at home with your own wheel, you're on behind the wheel of your own Gran Turismo.
If you're one of those
like effects. A racing simulator. That's one edge of that dial that is pretty swell. I think I would get behind those guys. The other edge is, hey, Mario Kart.
Right.
Let's toss some rocket launchers on this car. Let's be an
anthropomorphic dinosaur man in a tiny cart, sure. Chucking bananas at people.
The other end of it, and I'm definitely down for that. The middle ground here, where you are in a race car going around the track trying to hit checkpoints, I'm not too much of a fan of. The difference that this game has is that this is a widely known arcade game. As soon as people hear, they're walking around the old Dave and Buster's, and they hear this, they know it's coming. They know what's coming. Hey, boys.
Right around the corner.
Let's all hop in. This is an eight player multiplayer game. Let's hop on in.
We got eight machines lined up. We got eight asses. Let's do this.
That is the only place I've ever seen like eight of these lined up next to each other. Even then, I feel like it was my first trip to Dave and Buster's that I saw that, and now it's Kart. Like Kart is like the huge linked game. Yeah,
I've only seen a two Kart in my day.
Oh,
I saw Kart like facing each other. It was only like two machines, which is kind of pathetic.
I've seen
not even side by side.
I think the last time I went to the local Dave and Buster's, they either had a four or an eight. Like I couldn't tell if it was just four in one game or if it was like four across from four, but they, you know, they had eight machines there. So they're going hard on that cart, which I think I've mentioned before. Like to me is weird that you would go to an arcade to play the same game that you get at home.
Well, it's also an arcade version of the kart game, so it's not made for you to win like you would in like a 50cc race on your home on your Wii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's different tracks. I mean, it's not like
it's made for you to fail and to put more quarters into the machine.
Plus, I reported this off air, but I actually played one of those like last month, and it's very strange trying to translate those thumb controls to real life pedals and wheels. It just didn't translate in my brain.
You need that right trigger button to get your boosters going.
Hold that shell, get it ready, slide along. I think you had to like tap the brake or something. It was just a weird way to slide. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Now see, you mentioned Huel that you played this one on a normal controller this week.
Right.
So I had a ton of experience with this game on the Saturn. Because one of my friends had a Saturn. So we would, you know, we'd play this after school, which also is weird. I don't think there was a head to head for the Saturn. So we would just
turns.
We'd do the time trial instead.
Oh, that sounds so boring.
I'm now Daytona
2:43. Beat that.
Well, it did. I think it may have had one of those weird things where you had to have two TVs to do it.
What? And two Saturns?
Together? Is this a LAN party with Saturns?
Is this a Y cable video cable off the Saturn?
Or you had to link it up or something. But again, it would.
What? Who is this friend that has two Saturns? I never knowed a single person that's ever had a Saturn in my life.
I think the idea is I have a Saturn. I'm going to bring it over to your house and we'll plug them together.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, I could
double-ended Saturns.
I could be completely misremembering this, and maybe we just didn't go head-to-head for some other stupid reason. But we definitely – we would play the hell out of that time trial mode. Like trying to beat each other's score. So that was our big thing.
Sounds great.
I know.
Imagine, but, like, if you had a friend that wanted to do that in Kart, and, like, the only way he wanted to play.
Yeah. It's like, I have a single controller. I do it. Hey, yep. I do have Mario Kart 64. But I have just one controller.
Mm-hmm. You want to come over and play Kart?
Yeah.
Nope. Not anymore.
Nope. Sorry, I don't want to play
this battle mode. I never heard of battle mode.
Sounds too confrontational.
Well, oh no, there was, this is saying SegaRetro.org is saying that there was a two-player split screen feature. So,
split screen, meaning two TVs. Split between two TVs.
No, split on one TV, I think.
I don't know.
But I don't know. I feel like this game, it could have just been as simple as this game probably would be difficult to play split screen, because I feel like the speed makes it a little tougher.
We're talking Daytona USA now?
Yeah, Daytona, not Mario Kart. Mario Kart, fine, split screen. Like,
yeah.
But I feel like Mario Kart, you're going at a slower speed split screen.
Oh, for sure.
Then, you know, if you're doing Daytona, I don't know, do Gran Turismo, that series, like, I never played that one multiplayer either. Hmm. I don't know how that works.
Is that a multi-game? I thought that's just single player.
Yeah, Gran Turismo, to me, was always one of those, the most boring games of all time.
I mean, you hey, you are attacking a complete...
I'm no...
audience.
It's a subculture that I'm not
subculture, yeah.
Anywhere near. I'm not a gearhead. I don't wrench on things. I couldn't possibly give an S about what car I'm zooming around the streets.
Hey man, that Toyota Camry is making 10 seconds on better than you on this lap. Tell you what.
Zooming around in a Ford Escape.
That was always my big hurdle with Gran Turismo 3. Which is, you start the game and basically, like, God, what's that crappy car? The Cooper. The PT Cruiser is, like, the first car you start in.
Serious?
I think so. And then you have to, like, earn money and work your way up to something that's actually fast and fun.
Well, I thought that was kind of the point, though.
Yeah, but, like, I would read on GameFAQs, like, oh, how do you get money early in the game? Like, you can't actually win any of these races you enter. And they're like, oh, well... what you do is you just do the endurance race, which is 50 laps or something in that god-awful car.
Oh.
And you just win that and you get like 10 grand.
Terrible.
So, yeah. Oh.
Oh, well.
Is this sad music for me?
Gran Torino.
It's Gran Torino by Clint Eastwood.
Sung talked by Clint Eastwood.
But
it's a wonderful
contrast.
Song.
So Daytona, I had fond memories of that on the Saturn. So also tying back to the original reason I was commenting, yeah. I was, you know, I think the brakes in this game are either on and they slow you down, or they're off and, you know, you're not using them. Like, it's not, it probably wouldn't have mattered if you had analog control on that heel.
Well, I feel like some of the turns I was just kind of sliding around.
Yeah,
it helped a little bit.
That was my big memory from playing this game back in the day. Was, you know, part of it was, oh, you just got to bounce off the wall correctly.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like you just want
to hit the wall and bounce off. Keep going. Mm-hmm. Keep your momentum. Yes.
Like all good stock car racers do.
Maybe in my head I thought it was more of a sim than it actually is.
No, this is a pure arcade here.
Okay.
Pure. Mm-hmm. You gotta hit that wall at that right angle, and you can bounce off and take that curve at full speed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Todd, well, did you ever play this in the arcade?
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. I've hopped in this Daytona machine many a time. This is a local classic here in my neck of the woods, my neck of the folks. Let's peel back the curtain. I live in Austin, Texas. We have a Dave and Buster's here. It has a full array of 8 Daytona USAs. And whenever we have a work happy hour there, that thing is filled up. 8 on 8.
Love to
and
see that.
And everybody loves to play that Daytona because it is not a Mario. A Mario, everybody's intimidated by those red shells, the green shells, those banana peels. Everybody's intimidated.
Blue shells. Freaking
blue
out.
Shells. Mm-hmm. But the Daytona, hey, it's just a car.
No shells.
Race.
Just me in the car.
Just me in the car. That's race.
One of my favorite
things about the Daytona USA series, and I think this translates across the console versions of this game, is I love seeing that chassis, that trunk. I love seeing that trunk shake as you as you get beaten up over time through the course of a race. Your trunk starts shaking. I love seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
Just love coming right up behind it, watching it wiggle.
Yeah, it starts wiggling.
You hate to see it go, but you love to watch it leave.
That's right.
Trunk of that car.
One of my favorite things about playing this game is like you do a few barrel rolls in the ditch over there, and your car is all beat up and wobbly. Your wheels are sticking out, and you're wobbling along, trying to make it to that checkpoint. That's one of my favorite sights.
Gotta admit, I flipped the car a few times, not being able to slow down. So that was a thing.
Todd, at your work gatherings, do you pit one team against another team and be like, hey, guys, job's on the line here. Let's see.
Oh, good point.
fifth or lower, you're gone.
Fifth or lower.
Wow. Harsh but fair.
I mean, you got to have skill to make it in this business.
Yeah, that's fun. The fact that the car falls apart as you hit walls. I definitely dealt with that back in the day. I don't know. I just like this game had a sense of speed to me that I had not felt from a game before this one. So I'm sure there was like an arcade racer or two that was not bad, but it was like, you know, when it came to just straight like arcade racers, it was like this game, and before it was Rad Racer. I was like,
oh, it's tough to beat because this is just like a pure arcade racer. Like there's no secret features in it. Like in the Mario's, you get your shells and what have you.
Yeah,
but this is just like, yeah, shortcuts. This is, can you make it on the track? Can you, with your car, with the car you're given, can you make it?
It's just you and the machine. There isn't even like car choices. It's just like, this is what you get.
You can choose manual or automatic, and that's it.
That's all you get.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the manuals do go a bit faster than those autos. So
that's the benefit of fiddling with that stick.
Knowing how to work a stick comes into play.
Yeah. How did Mookie, Stick, and Tonto get involved with the play? I was wondering why you were playing that one, but yeah, you tied it together pretty nice. Yeah. Just to touch on where this one is now, according to Sega and the internet, Daytona USA was one of the best-selling arcade cabinets of all time. It took home a Diamond Award in 1995, the industry standard for arcade game sales. The home versions also sold well, and the series continued with updates and re-releases until 2001. It was revived in 2010 under the name Sega Racing Classic, and there was another enhanced port for the Xbox Arcade and PSN in 2011. A new arcade version, Daytona USA 3, came out in 2017, and for the first time, it featured Daytona International Speedway.
Yeah, that's something that is missed by most people, and even to myself up to this point, is that it's called Daytona USA, but it has nothing to do with the Daytona 500 or NASCAR in general. It's just like a Japanese interpretation of what NASCAR racing is.
Yeah, this is Japan's interpretation of America. And I got to say, they nailed it.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
This is why Jeff Gordon is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Is he alive?
Yeah.
I think
he
survived that crash, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was the other guy that didn't. That's right.
Dale Earnhardt?
No, the guy he ran over.
I think you're thinking of Tony Stewart.
Am I?
I think Tony Stewart ran over a guy.
They're all the same.
I think we've also just mentioned like three racers who have not been active for like 5 or more years. So
due to the needing to be alive part.
No, I think they're retired. I think they're out of the game.
Too tired. Too tired by death.
Oh man, tires. Part of a car.
I do feel like for a while there, it seemed like NASCAR was going to be a huge thing. And now...
Did it?
Well, it would be on Fox on the weekends. And now I can't remember the last time I've even seen it in my TV guide.
Like sure, my, yeah.
Wait a minute.
F1 is what people watch now. If they want to see some rooms, they watch that F1.
I think the TV guide also went away with NASCAR.
No. By that, I don't mean my actual, like the actual publication TV guide. I mean the guide when you press the guide button.
The cable box. Okay.
Yeah, the cable guide.
Just the way you said it, it sounded like, I can't find NASCAR in the old TV guide.
Well, I got TV guide. Well, I do also get TV guide, and I liked this week. News radio was on the cover, so it was
for the articles.
You know, it's one of the best sitcoms on TV nowadays, so what can I say?
It's excellent.
Yeah. I mean, my top five goes, you know, news radio is definitely one. And
we're
then
doing this?
Yeah.
I'm not prepared.
I don't know what's number two. It's
I can't
Carolina,
go top five.
The Andy
Carolina
Dick vehicle?
City or...
Spin City? Yeah.
Spin City.
Dharma and Greg?
The Joe Rogan Experience prequel. Mm-hmm. News radio.
Oh yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of great shows.
Caroline in the City.
Boston Common.
Yeah, it's Boston Common. Yeah.
Yeah, Spin funny City. He's from Boston.
Two kind of cities.
Spin City came already came. I said that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The Drew Carey Show. His name's right in there.
Classic.
You know who's in it.
Yeah. But so yeah, this is I don't know. It was a fun game for me growing up, but playing it this week, I was like, "Wow, there's not a ton of depth to this one."
Sure, there's not. There's not a lot of depth, but it
three tracks.
Sure, it's one of those games easy to play, tough to master.
Tough to master. You gotta know the ins and outs of those rooms.
You gotta get inside that inside track.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Huel I think said, there's no. There's no trick-em-ups in this one.
No.
Like, there's no...
No shells.
Nope.
I mean, there's no leaps you can take. No shortcuts. No track shortcuts.
You in the road.
It's pure skill in this game. This is why it's one of the better arcade racers, is that this really is, hey, you got the skill? Let's take it to the road.
You got the skill? Grab the wheel. That almost works.
Mm-hmm.
You got the skill? Grab the wheel.
Well, Todd, were you able to find any Most Best this week?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, you know, we all like this prank game pretty good because it is one of the all times. I would say it's one of the all times of the arcade. But I do have three reasons why Daytona USA is the Most Best game of all time. Now, the arcade version is not sold on Amazon.com, where I pull these reviews from. But I did find two reviews first for the Saturn port of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And the first one for the Saturn was written by an anonymous reviewer, and it is titled 5 Stars in September of 2016. And the anonymous reviewer wrote, as advertised, 5 Stars.
Perfect.
Yeah. What else do you need to know?
Nothing.
All right. The next Saturn review is by Jose Lopez, and it's titled Daytona USA Sega Saturn in April of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And Jose wrote, the good old days playing Sega Saturn VF2, VC1, and 2, Daytona USA, and a demo or two. Still have my system. I remember Daytona USA when you would pass Jeffrey on one of the tracks and you would turn him around by pressing the buttons.
Who?
And also when you passed under the overpass on the main track with the slots. Very cool game. 5 stars.
Who's Jeffrey?
I don't know.
His friend?
I don't know who Jeffrey is.
Played with? Must
have. Toys R Us giraffe? Maybe
Jeff.
No, it's spelled different. That's Geoffrey. That's the British spelling. This is a pure American Jeffrey.
It must be Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, it must be Jeff Gordon.
Previously mentioned.
Yeah, it's got to be Jeff Gordon. Oh.
All right. This next one's for the PC port of the game.
Oh.
And it's written O. Arius.
Capital O. Arius.
Arius. Capital O. Period. Arius.
Aureus.
Arius. And it's titled, I Need Component Info on Daytona USA. It's written in January of 2012, and Arius wrote, I love Daytona USA since I was a baby. I love the sounds, the music, and the steering wheel.
A baby?
It mostly feels like a roller coaster. I love shifting gears. Did you know on Gear 3, this baby handles corners beautifully, and you don't have to shift again until after you turn. Last time I shaved some seconds out of my time after I shifted to gear 4. When I was running out of time, I'd like to know if this baby is compatible with Windows 7 or all Windows computers. 5 stars!
Great ask.
Oof.
Stellar. Wonderful ask.
5 stars, though.
Yeah.
Well, I have a even, one star. Yeah.
Even without knowing if it's compatible with Windows 7.
Yeah.
5 stars.
It's for the PC port.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a 1-star Yelp review, and it's for the Daytona Arcade Museum in Daytona, Florida. From Pamela G. writes, we attempted to go to this place today, but barely made it in the door. I had left over food from the restaurant we had lunch at in a container inside a bag. They wouldn't allow me to come in with it. They said I had to take it to my car. I explained that my car was over half a mile down the road. What? So would they allow me
to
just
this parking lot?
So would they allow me to just put it behind their counter? And they wouldn't. We have had this place on our list for things to do while in Daytona for months. It was a total letdown.
One star.
So, one.
It's on the agenda.
Oh my god.
We have this on our itinerary, and they wouldn't let us take in our half-eaten chicken nuggets inside.
I was really looking forward to the rest of this.
The car was over half a mile away. We just couldn't go to it.
This club sandwich is not going to hold up. We have to bring it into the museum.
Yeah. It should be in the museum. Next to the ice cream.
Their food policy is what this review is about.
I know. Well, you know those arcade museums, how you can normally take food into them. So
any museum, yeah.
Yeah. Museums and arcades are both places I wouldn't think that I could get food in. It always amazes me, Huel, that your arcade sold food.
Oh, but a lot of things amazed me at that place. Not getting paid.
Yeah. Just kid.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the food was like heated up nacho product.
Yeah, cheese there was product. Nacho products, microwavable cheeseburgers. a lot of good food.
Ice cream machine.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Yeah,
that's still weird to me though. It's like, oh, they're gonna eat nachos and then throw skee balls around.
Get their
it's like
filthy child hands all over it.
Yeah. Well, Huel, I'm not sure if you had a chance to look at a manual for this one.
Well, I originally did not, but as Todd was reading the third review, which mentioned it was for the Sega Saturn, the first two reviews, I quickly found a Sega Saturn manual for Daytona USA. And the cover exclaims, the arcade smash hit. So it's not great. It's in black and white, which is already a bad sign.
Mm. I think that's par for the course on a Saturn manual.
Yeah, though. Probably. It's like that weird area or that weird time period where no one knows what they're doing for manuals. Really, the dark age of manuals, as I like to refer to it.
Mm.
It goes through the controls. Apparently, for the Saturn, there was an arcade racer wheel, which looks, I guess, cool. But really, this is way too long for a game that has three tracks in it. Like, I guess you have to explain the controls a little bit, but like, there's a lot of different modes that don't seem necessary. It's mostly screenshots. What?
A history of driving?
No. unfortunately, there is like almost an entire page on how to enter your initials, so that lets you know what's going on here. There's some tips and tricks at the end, which is okay, but I mean, this is just it's average to below average. I'll just throw two Mario 2s at it.
Mm.
Yeah,
out of five.
That's expectable. I mean,
however, we did do my manual segment, but I think you missed a segment that we've added this week.
Oh,
down here. This is the return of Huel's Track Tracks.
Oh.
Oh, we don't have a stinger for this one.
There is no stinger because we probably haven't done it in 2 years because we don't play racing games. But Huel's Track Tracks can only be done when we play racing games that have music. So this fits that criteria.
Famously, Excitebike, I think, does not have music.
No. If it does, it's probably just the same song. It barely has tracks. So, coming in at number 5 is the beginner track song. It's pretty simple. I think it's called Rolling Start because you are
Rolling Start. Yeah,
Rolling Start.
The famous phrase. Yeah.
Rolling Start.
Popularized by this game, Rolling Start.
Oh yes. So that's what you do, and that's what the name's called. The song's called.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Number 4. Is the expert track, which is called Sky High. It's pretty good. It's jaunty. It's fun. Number 3, the Victory Lane track. This is where you win the race. There's a little ditty that plays as you go around Victory Lane. It's very epic. It makes you feel accomplished. It's very appropriate for winning a race. So I thought it was very good. That's number 3. Number 2, the Game Over jingle, which I referred to in the beginning.
Classic.
It is.
Where they spell it out for you.
It is both insulting and exciting to hear the Game Over jingle. They put a lot of effort into it. I appreciate it. It makes you feel okay about losing because you get to hear the song. So maybe that's what they're going for. And number 1, the top track for Daytona USA is the no-brainer, the advanced track named Let's Go Away.
Oh, yeah.
The Daytona theme. That is unbeatable. It's been in my head for 7 days since playing the Snifferoo from last week.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic. It's iconic.
Such a great song.
Yeah.
If you hear that in the arcade, you walk into a brand new arcade you've never been to in your life, and you hear that, you're ready to race.
You're like, my feet are tapping. I need to get a pedal under them. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's it's named Let's Go Away, which is one of the lyrics in the song, which is strange. Like, not let's get away or let's go. It's let's go away.
Let's go away.
Sure. Let's do it.
It's weird because it's both. They didn't put a lot of energy into this, but they put a lot of energy into this. Like
into this song specifically. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the lyrics, I think it's just let's go away in Daytona.
Yeah. That's it. Daytona, let's go away. Daytona.
But man, that tune, it's got a lot going on. It's got some, you know.
It's got some riffs.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. So, especially for a racing game, you feel like they could have just thrown some techno track on there and be fine.
Steve has sent a possible stinger for the
So let's close segment. Let's close out with the stinger that Steve sent. Here we go.
Track tracks.
There it is.
It did not play a sound.
That was it. We heard it.
That was it.
Yeah.
No.
It's a second long. I heard it. Play it again.
Track tracks.
Nope. It has no sound in it.
I definitely heard it.
I used a different device and it did not hear anything.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it said track tracks.
It was pretty quiet.
Yeah. Track tracks. Yeah. Track tracks.
Hopefully it got recorded because I could hear it, so maybe it'll work.
Okay, maybe just on my machine it's not working.
Well, no, I think it's
worked
it's
on
just...
my machine.
No, wasn't it? It was just somebody saying track tracks.
I thought it was me.
No.
Where'd you get this clip?
I don't know. It just says Huel track tracks, which means.
When we did it 2 years ago, you must have cut that in.
Yeah, probably.
You're still playing it, Tom. It's still.
It's so weird. It's not here. It's not appearing on my own headphone. So maybe it's just my issue. I'll trust you guys. You heard it.
You'll find out one day.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that it's so low. It's probably not showing up on your voice meter there.
Yeah, my potentiometers are not registering it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we probably didn't have regular music for that in the past. I probably just sliced in like some of the tracks we actually talked about.
That's probably true.
But thankfully Todd did it for me this week. So don't have to worry about track. So well, I guess we gotta move on to my regular segment then. Which is
like 12 regular segments.
And as we mentioned before the show, we have another like 40 segments that we've killed over the years.
So many segments.
Yeah. Listen, we're churning. This is a comedy factory here.
Constantly churning.
Not a comedy warehouse.
We're trimming, we're adding, we're cutting.
Yes.
Refining.
Yes, refining.
Mm-hmm. We're like the Oreo factory. Every time I go to the store, there's a new variety of Oreos.
Oh yeah. Or Cheerios.
Nobody's ever satisfied. They gotta have that new flavor, that new combination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cheerios, yeah. I tried, I think it was like maple pecan Cheerios the other week.
Slow it down for a second.
Yeah. It's like, hey, how about we just go back to some banana or some
I'm allergic
strawberry.
To pecans.
Banana.
Yeah. They got banana Cheerios now.
Banana Cheerios?
Yeah.
Nanerios?
Nanerios?
They got those?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because... Oh, it's banana nut Cheerios, but yeah.
Oh, nut. Get that nut out of here. I don't want no nut. I don't want no nut in my nanner nose.
Yeah.
Nut and nanner.
It's somewhat confusing because...
What about the twig and berries flavored?
It struck me as unnecessary because a bunch of bananas is like $2, like, and it's not really that much more effort to just get a banana and chop it and throw it in your cereal if you want.
That's not the point, man.
Yeah. Hey, does it come prepackaged by post?
You could buy Kellogg? An apple. You could buy an apple and slice it up on your Cheerios and grind some cinnamon on it, but
you could buy a nut and spice your own. Either.
Yeah.
Spice your own honey nuts.
Dump some honey on top of it.
Yeah. Get a beehive.
He's on the box.
Get a beehive. Well,
what do we do?
Herzog.
Oh, there it is.
Herzog 2. No, significantly higher this week for the Herzog hierarchy. Mm. This game, as I mentioned, got some good nostalgia for it, but that is not a factor in this rating scale. So it's coming in at Herzog Sieben.
Hmm.
Ooh, Herzog 7.
Oh! Wow.
One of my favorite moments is when Todd doesn't know what the number is and is always surprised.
You know, man, I don't speak that Merc. Spanish stuff.
Well, you know, this game does not have a ton of replay value, but it's still fun to
it's a fun romp.
Yeah, if you're at an arcade, like just hop behind the wheel of this one. It's fun. you know.
Sure.
And also, it's available in a lot of different formats now. You can get it. You get it for PSN. It's, you know, just go get it. It's fun.
Have you got to the where is this now? Because it has been re-released on the PS whatevers now.
We did that about 4 hours ago.
Yeah, the PS whatevers of today have this re-released in HD.
Mm-hmm.
HD, yeah. As they say in
it
the
also,
UK.
Todd, I don't know if you knew this, but the re-releases include Daytona International Speedway for the first time.
Oh. Ooh. That's interesting, because it is named Daytona USA.
They eat fish and chips.
It usually doesn't have anything to do with the Daytona, so.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You can also take a pit stop at that arcade museum where they kick that lady out for having
they call it fried Greenwich Mean Time Tona over there.
Could I bring my doggy bag into there?
In the game, no. It's very, very realistic.
Interesting.
So Todd, you have a regular rating feature. Would you like to do it?
Sure, yes. I do have the Decktail scale, which has two primary factors, those being nostalgia and replayability. Nostalgia. Pretty good nostalgia for this one. This game came out in 94, but it's been an arcade staple since that time. I've seen it in all my good arcades since 94. And it's always been one, hey, I'll hop behind the wheel. I'll take around a track or two. So good nostalgia on this one. Replayability. Hey, by yourself and by myself. No, huh? I'm not going to replay this. But.
Oh.
You're pulling in your buddy. Hey, let's take a spin. Let's take a turn around the wheel. Take a spin around the track. Let's do it, boy. I tell you what, that's good. That's good replayability right there. So,
I'm a car. You're a car.
Let's race. I'm saying for me, you know, it's not purely my style of game.
Mm-hmm.
But I will
two factors.
But I will hop into that racing seat if I got a buddy with me there that says, "Hey, man, let's go. I'm gonna take you down. All right." So replayability is good for this one, you know, considering it is an arcade racer of nondescript factor, and you cannot beat that song. All right, so those factors all factoring in, I would put Daytona USA for the arcade in at a .59 DuckTales.
Oh, boy!
Wow. I thought Hugh's guess was high, but hearing you talk, I'm surprised.
Yeah. I said .84.
A little too high on the replayability. You know, it is just,
are you sure?
It's just an arcade racer. It's an arcade racer.
Yeah, but you love that song. You love hopping
love that song.
In there.
Love hopping in that seat. I love pulling the lever, pulling the seat back because I gotta
Pull
make room.
That effing lever.
Gotta get room in there for my hooves. Right.
What did you say? .59?
.59.
Ooh, that is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Ooh, I thought I was feeling good about this one.
This is a simple arcade racer. I mean, when you boil it down, simple arcade racer. But
you gotta boil it down to both nostalgia. Yeah.
And
replayability.
Yeah.
You know what?
Replayability.
Your guess would have been right if you played as a racer like Guy Racing Man, who also was the announcer, and he was avenging the death of his father. Like, we need a deep
story mode.
Story.
Yeah, that really
give me some experience points in this game.
Yeah, that leads more to the nostalgia if you have that story you can latch onto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you could get some EXP from each lap, Todd would be more into this.
For some reason, I just remembered we referred to Wario as a kart racist. So we were talking about Racing Man. That just popped into my head.
Classic kart racist.
Great kart racist.
One of the greatest kart racists of our generation.
If anyone was going to be a kart racist, it would be
it's
Wario.
Totally Wario.
I mean,
favorite racist.
Yeah.
We should move on.
How deep does the wah thing go? Like, is there a wah toadstool?
What are you talking about? Oh, the wah toadstool prefix. Oh. The wah prefix.
Wah Luigi.
Wah
yeah.
Peach. Like, I'd like to see wah Peach.
Are we gonna see a wah Bowser at some point who is like a straight out good guy?
What? That would be incredible.
The wah, on one hand,
the extended Wanaverse.
Yeah. it's just going to be like that episode of Star Trek where everyone was evil and they had mustaches and goatees. Eventually, yeah. there will just be a Mario game set in that universe, and Bowser's the hero against Wario and Luigi. Quick, somebody get my attorney to dash out a letter to Nintendo.
Please copyright that quickly.
I know. Yeah, we got to get Mr. Backsack on this. All right. Well, we should probably move along here. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one?
I mean, one of my last notes on here is I love seeing when you're racing in this game, and you do a couple of barrel rolls, and your car's all smashed up. I love seeing that car wobbling around, still making the race. It's one of my favorite sights in the arcade.
True.
I can't even tell if this is a bit or if you've just had a couple tonight, Todd.
Life is not a bit, Steve.
Oh, I smell toast. Huel, is there anything else you wanted to add before we moved on?
Oh, barely. Yeah, it's good.
5 stars?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you see this in the arcade, I mean, it's worth a spin at least, because this is a game everybody, if you like games, you should have played at some point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
It's just one of those games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Daytona. All right. Let's move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you get any mails this week?
You know what? I did. Uh-oh. I did get an email, and it's from a new writer, and they wrote, here's the subject of their email. It says, I have a clever way to win wars. Rate my idea. And they wrote, Dear YPB, first, release a whole herd of panicked elephants. Make them stampede toward the enemy army. While the enemy wastes bullets on the animals, sneak behind from the other side and blast everything with gunfire. RPGs, bazookas, tank shells, and thermobaric weapons. And that was from...
Okay.
That was from HammurabiJr@gmail.com.
Harambe?
Oh.
Hammurabi Jr.
@gmail.com.
All right.
Okay.
For a second, I thought this was like Crewy Kings 2 advice, but they don't. Well,
there's
they don't
no question
RPGs
on this one, but
in that one,
RPGs and bazookas,
yeah,
and tank shells.
What was it?
And thermobaric weapons.
Thermobaric.
I mean, you get all that technology, but first, send in your elephants in the front line.
Mm-hmm.
So do they think, are they just wondering if we like this idea, or?
There's no question on this. It's just an idea, a clever way to win wars.
Just
here's the question. Question was in the subject. Rate my idea. Rate my idea.
Okay. 5 stars.
I'm going to give it 1 star. I'm going to give it 1 star just because it seems like it would be a hell of a hard task to corral a bunch of elephants and then release them at the front lines.
Well, Getting some go to elephant the, trainers on your side, right?
Just got to go to all the jails, you know, one by one. Collect them up. Oh, I'm sorry, zoos. I call them animal jails.
Oh.
Oh.
Even then, how many zoos are there in the U.S.? Like, I don't know.
Animal 500? Jails?
Yeah.
No, less than that. Like, one per state at this point that one? Have elephants.
Oh, that have elephants, yeah. Probably not that many.
I feel like it's probably just easier to make a whole lot more RPGs than to
to make how many more RPGs per elephant in Steve's Army?
Great ask.
It's a good ask. Yeah.
Huh.
Well, Huel, did you get any mails?
There's an email I got today. It says, "Dear YPB, I had to listen to your episode last week since it was a game made for a Philips system. Now, I wasn't around in 1994, but I can't stand by and not defend this company. What were we supposed to do? The video game market was booming, Nintendo left us high and dry, and Sony was breathing down our necks. So what if the system looked no better than a toaster? It worked, didn't it? It had games you could plug in and turn on. There were buttons on the controller. Oh, there weren't enough for you? Tough shit. What makes you guys so smart, huh? What's your favorite controller? It's freaks like you that made us get out of the video game industry. Good thing, too, or I'd have to be on here defending some god-awful Battle Royale game we'd have just released because someone decided on a whim it had to be released in 4 months. And that is from Franz Van Houten, CEO of Philips Electronics.
Oh. Hey, celebrity. Video exactly. Game royalty.
High profile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So his ask was, what is our favorite controller?
Yeah, it seemed to be there was an ask hidden in there. What's your favorite controller?
Hey, easy answer for this sure. Modern day gamer and classic day gamer. The DualShock on the PS1. They made the formula. They perfected it right there. That is what has stuck from then on.
Did the DualShock, PS1 have the DualShock?
The DualShock on the PS1.
Okay.
That is where they perfected the formula right there. That is all you need. Perfect. Perfect.
It is crazy.
Hand, teenager. let's say teenager size hand to right. controller ratio right there. Because it does conform to an adult size hand, which I have now. I am an adult at this point.
Good.
I do have adult size hands.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And it does conform very, very well.
Okay. I mean, it is crazy that four generations now, it's been basically the same controller. It speaks to it.
I actually like the second DualShock a little bit better. Well, just because
I think that's when they really perfected it. If we're gonna split.
Yeah. It. Yeah, and I think that one. You know, the first DualShock, like, a lot of those PlayStation games don't use it. So it was there, but it wasn't implemented.
It's not about the usage, it's about the conformity, right?
Well, right, but it was,
I mean,
it
look
was,
at, look at, the tweaks, you mean, the Mr.
to PS2.
Who wrote in, perfected. I forgot, who
Franz,
wrote in?
Franz Van Houten, CEO.
Van Houten, Mr. V. Houten himself. hey, if I'm grabbing your control right here, I'm making use of, like, my thumbs on one side and my thumbs on the other. But I got all these four extra digits on each side. I'm not using my index, not using my middle. You know, I got all these fingers I'm not using.
Got a list.
Mm-hmm.
All these fingers I'm not using on your control. Make use of them.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Steve, did you agree? It's the DualShock of the PS2, I believe, is what you went for.
Well, yeah, and I would say that's my favorite kind of modern controller, and then they've just updated it. I will say the PS4 controller, I don't like that they've added that touchscreen thing.
I have no use for that.
The one you peel out your unit and slide it upon? What is that used for? What is that?
Excuse me?
Guys, tell me. I'm not a modern gamer like you guys.
You mean the giant button in the middle? Is that your ask?
Yeah, the one you peel, you unzip and you peel out and slide it on, or what?
I think that's what it's for.
I think the idea is that you can use that as like kind of a mouse pad or a touch pad.
Yeah,
except, oh, it's like a weight.
Except
you
no
can
game
measure yourself, right?
Except no games use it that way. That's stupid. So instead they use that and the options button in the upper right as like that's normally like your map screen or your pause button or something like that.
Yeah, I've mainly seen it used as like a second start button to get you to like a menu that you would quickly need to get to.
Instead of just using
a button.
For past controllers, it would just be they would have the select or the start button.
So yeah, the button. That had the button right there.
It's a good button.
Good button space.
They also added the six-axis thing where you can tilt the controller and control it. Mm. Oh, I do not care for that because
little Kirby tilt and curl right there.
Yeah, I do not like games that make you do that.
I use it when you have to input stuff on the keyboard. You can zip it around and input quicker.
Yeah. Well, and my final thing on this is also
a lot of thoughts.
Super Nintendo controller is probably my favorite classic one.
I think that is a proto PS. My only reason for saying this is the Super Nintendo controller for me is the ideal controller button scenario. the ideal button scenario. But it's so small, my hands get cramped.
It is
the PS's DualShock, they spread those buttons out.
Need something to grab onto.
It's clear that the Super Nintendo controller is a controller meant with like a kid in mind, whereas PlayStation controllers have always been fit more for grown-ups.
System for men.
Yes, and the Xbox controller is a system for weightlifters. Right. Or people with enormous hands.
Olympic discus throwers.
Yes.
While I do agree the PlayStation controller DualShock is classic, it stood the test of time, I have to go with the GameCube controller.
Oh.
It was very comfortable to hold. I like that the handles were flat on the sides rather than in the front. So you could actually hold onto it, and it actually felt like you could hold it. I like that the R and L buttons were both analog and digital. That was fantastic. You could click them, or you could hold them. And then just the button layout with the giant A button in the middle, just something about that I love.
Because you get that big button.
Yeah, hey, I love that big button.
This big green button means do something.
That big green button is fantastic, and you have the X, Y, and the B just like right next to it, so you can quickly shoot over. You're not searching around. Well, what's the square? I don't know. They're all just next to each other. And the analog stick held up. They learned their lesson with the N64. That thing was trash. They really focused on a durable analog stick. So I think the GameCube controller.
That's an excellent choice. I'm definitely with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unique, but functional.
It's the quirky controller.
No, that N64 is the quirky controller.
The N64 was like the first controller to have like an analog stick and that kind of stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, but if you're going to go quirky, I mean, that's king of the quirk. It's got a button on the back. It's got three handles. It's a monster. But yeah, I love it.
You're grabbing onto that big old thing hanging down the middle.
Yeah, that old dangler in the middle. You got it all.
That old dongler right in the middle.
I mean, I love it, but I can't defend it.
No, it's. I mean, it was fine for the time, but it is hellacious to use at some games. Well, I received one mail this week.
You okay?
The person writes. I was not convinced you were giving it your all with that attempt of a Mario impression on your Mega Man X.
Don't you dare.
Oh. That's right. I do not have a mail this week. So we should go on to Ask the Sweet Boys, if you have one, Todd.
Yeah, somebody needs our help. So let us ask the Sweet Boys.
Thank you.
All right. So send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will help you out. And this one, and we'll keep it anonymous for you, by the way. Keep it anonymous. Mm. This is from an anonymous, and the subject of their ask is, my family members are married. I'm in my early 20s. Now what? So I'm a female, 23, and no college yet. I'm working on my one last test in GED to go to college. I feel some type of way because all my family members got married at early teens and 20s. Our family tradition is that people get married with one person and be married. Once you lose your virginity to that person, I feel the opposite because I'm young. I've been with different men, dated, have had fun, lived life. And tradition, it looks skanky. So I've been the only one who feels different? Feel like a black sheep. Should I feel this way? Should I feel this way? That's the ask.
Oh my god!
Wow! You
killed me. What a Where swerve!
Weaved it in.
Oh point. My god! Huh. All right. Well, anonymous, despite your feelings, you're ahead of the curve here.
Yeah.
Your family is full of freaks getting married at 19 or whatever. That does not lead to anything good. I say lay your pipe while you can.
She is working on her one test in GED.
Take that final test.
Yeah.
Get that fake diploma.
Yes.
Launch yourself to community college. Lay some more pipe there. Get to know yourself. And you know, screw that family. They don't know.
You know what?
You don't know me.
Yeah. Hey. Tradition, as I'll quote the writer here. Tradition, it looks skanky, all right?
I think
That's
she
all
meant
you need to know.
I think she meant she looks skanky in their traditional eyes.
Yeah.
That was my
Let me quote. And a full sentence here written from Please. Capital A to period is and tradition, it looks skanky. Period.
Okay.
Sure. I'm just
interpreting the text.
I like that you keep encouraging this woman to lay pipe.
Sure.
Which
or get pipe get Whoa. Pipe laid on. I
get
don't
pipe laid on.
You know what I mean.
And also I'm fine, just don't have kids. Like just
Yeah, never have children.
That's
Please
a good
use rule. Some sort of birth control.
Cannot control their religion. Feel free to follow your religion.
Whether inside or outside, control that birth. Yeah.
Whether you're
whatever you're method you may choose.
Mm-hmm.
As Hugh would say, when you're laying pipe, you got to make sure you get that fiberglass insulation in first.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Because
a lot of insulation.
You gotta get that
fixing handy.
Get that rubber tape around the edge. Show.
Yeah.
Around the groove. Around the piping.
Yeah. As the handyman of the podcast, I have to insist.
Put some painter's tape around there so that you don't have to deal with splatter.
Safe pipeline.
Little mask.
Mm-hmm. Well, we helped that person quite a bit, I'd say.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say this week?
Hey, try 4 views with the VR button.
Sure.
Oh. Cool. How about you? Anything else you wanted to add?
Slam that pedal.
Slam that saw. All right. So on that note, here's a snifferoo from next week's game.
Did you send one?
Yeah, it's at the bottom of the Nintendo there.
Hey, okay, here we go. And cut this out. Here we go.
Come on, you don't want to play the full 28 minutes of that or whatever it is?